Could you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18? I've got a word from God for you this morning. Isn't that amazing? A word from God for you. And let's receive it as if it's from God, not me. Because it is the word of God that I'm going to preach this morning. So hopefully I do every Sunday when I'm up here. But Father, we thank you that your word is living. It's powerful and never changes. And what we find in your word is true. And it's going to be true for us in our experience of you. And so, Lord, we thank you that you bring light. Let there be light. We thank you for encouragement this morning, that you will strengthen the weary, that you will lift up those who are discouraged, that you will bring vision where there has been no vision, and that you will bring power where there is weakness. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, who's able to do far more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. Amen. 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 Luke chapter 18. It starts with Jesus telling a story. He's about to tell a story, a parable, to illustrate an important lesson for all of us. And I want to know the lessons of Jesus, don't you? I want to know what he considers to be important. And I thank God we have the written word of God, which isn't anything but God breathed. And so we can receive from the Lord this morning just by hearing these words. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. And I love the amplified of this. If I could have the amplified, I think it's the first of my slides. Thank you, Joy. That says that men always ought to pray and not faint or turn coward or be discouraged or lose heart. It's coming up fairly soon. Always pray, not turn coward, faint or lose heart and give up. I love the Amplified because it actually is giving more meaning to what Jesus was saying. It's a direct translation from the Greek. We always ought to pray. Now, that's the issue, to not give up praying. Okay, so Jesus is speaking about a lesson on always praying and not giving up. And he says here not to turn coward. Well, what does a coward do? Gets scared and runs. I don't know if you've ever been tempted to get scared and run away from something. And that means we need courage. But we're not to turn away to face some of the things that Jesus wants us to face. We need to actually win the things that used to make us afraid. Amen. We're not to faint. Now that for me speaks about getting tired. You know, when life gets, you get weary and you get exhausted by life or by even praying. And you've prayed for something and you haven't seen it happen. And he says, I don't want you to faint and get weary. I don't want you to lose kind of strength. Okay? So God's saying to you this morning, I don't want you to turn coward, nor do I want you to faint and sit down and say, I ain't going to do that anymore. Prayer doesn't work for me. Hello? Anybody? Hope this is an encouraging word because it's from Jesus. You're not to lose heart. Now, for me, that speaks of discouragement. Because when we don't see what we're asking for, we can lose heart. Have you ever been tempted to lose heart when you've asked God for something and it hasn't happened? Is it just me? I've been tempted to lose heart. And God's saying to us, don't lose heart. Don't allow discouragement to stop you from continuing to pray. And he gives us to illustrate this as something to keep going in and to continue to pray according to his will. He gives us this story about a widow, and I'm not going to read it all now, but this widow needed justice from an enemy. An enemy was attacking her, coming against her, taking something from her. We don't know the whole story. But this widow, who didn't have anyone else to help her and didn't have the resources herself to change it, went to this judge. And Jesus says this judge was an unjust judge. In other words, he didn't deal well in the affairs of his work. And there are unjust judges all over the world today where people go for righteous things and to put things right, and only corruption and wrong things come back. And this unjust judge didn't even like people and had no fear of God or man. So in other words, God, he just couldn't be bothered with. He didn't really realize he stood before God every day, and what he did, God was seeing, but he just couldn't care. But he didn't have any regard for people. In other words, he wasn't bothered about what situations people were going through. Now, Jesus speaks about this kind of judge not to be anything like him, but to just tell the story, because God is good and God is just, and he always wants to do you good. So that's God's attitude to people. But this unjust judge kept having this woman come to him. And the scripture says, continual coming, saying, get justice for me against my adversary. The next day, she would come again. Get justice for me. In fact, she was like a broken record. Get justice for me against my adversary. And he would refuse her, ignore her, kick her out. And next day, who would be on his steps? This widow saying, get justice for me against my adversary. And this widow, Jesus holds up as an example for you and me to not give up the things that God has promised. To not let go of the promise of God for your life and all the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. And he says, basically, asking once isn't going to get it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have used this example as saying you always ought to pray, not turn coward, faint, or lose heart. This widow had something in her heart that actually you and I need a big dose of. Hello? I need a dose of this, do you? Where we will keep going to God and saying, actually, I'm not going to give up until I see what you've promised in this situation in my life. And she had what I would consider to be an incredible determination to get what she knew was hers. Now, you've got to know what's yours before you go get it. You've got to know that the promises of God, the word of God, is yours in Christ. There isn't one promise that isn't yours. You've got to know what that is and say, it's my right as a child of God to come in and say, I want to see this happening in my experience. There are a lot of Christians that don't even bother getting up and say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And that is another religion. It's more like a Hindu than a believer, a Christian. Because we're not sitting around waiting. You see what the widow does? She goes to God. This is what Jesus is saying. You go to God and you say, I'm going to keep coming until I see what you've promised happen in my experience. Wow. That means something to do with the prayer that Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. And then it gets into something called, has anybody ever read that? Knock, and the door, knock. It's time to start knocking, church. It's time to start to come back and say, actually, you can't. I'm not going to be put off. I'm going to keep knocking until I see what you've promised happen in my life. And Jesus, when he finishes this parable, this story, he says in verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. basically the unjust judge said, I'm going to have to give this woman what she's asking for because she's continuing to nag. She won't go away. She won't stop asking. Come on, church. We're not going to stop asking. We're not going to stop with what we have seen. We're going to stop with what we see in the Word. Thank you, Lord. When I see this, I'm going to be a happy camper. And Jesus said, the unjust judge said, just to get her off my back. She's going. Now, Jesus says in verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? We're his chosen ones. We're not like this widow who, this judge had this attitude towards her. He loves us. He chose us to be his children. And he says, won't God be so different towards you because he chose you? He loves you. And his chosen ones who cry out, say cry out. I don't know if you've ever heard a child cry out more than a couple of times. Parents can tell when their child is pretending or only just slightly wants what they're asking for and can easily be diverted by a nice new toy. Or they're that determined, they're going to keep going until they get what they're asking for. Has anybody ever known that trait in any of your children or grandchildren or even children that you might have looked after when they start to cry out? Now that means they get vocal. Say vocal. And a cry is slightly different to a normal voice. We've got to break into the spiritual dynamic of prayer, which goes beyond just, Lord, I ask you, would you bless me? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Into, Lord, I am determined to continue to cry out for this that you have promised. I am crying out on behalf of your word for this church. I am crying out for the harvest that you have promised in this region. I am not backing off, and I'm not just praying with a little suggestion. I'm going to keep going. And Jesus says, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice, and quickly. Love that. So God says he's going to give us justice, and quickly. Well, after we've cried out and not given up, that's when we get the result. Amen. And then he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, that's speaking about Jesus' return, will he find faith on the earth? Now you might say, well, of course, because I'm saved. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. The Amplified puts it like this, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in the faith? Persistence. That's what it really means. When Jesus returns, will he find a people that are keeping going for what God has said and not losing heart, turning coward, or fainting? Are you there this morning? This is a spiritual lesson that Jesus wants us to be listening to and to apply to our lives. Jesus loves this quality because there's so much that happens in our lives to make us want to give up. To make us want to sit down. To make us want to feel sorry for ourselves. To make us want to say, I may as well not bother with prayer because it hasn't happened yet. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? Because this is the issue that will change your not happening into a happening. How do you want a God happening? And the not happening is what I don't want. I've decided. Not just to follow Jesus, I've decided I'm going to get some happenings from what God has said. And it's this dynamic of prayer, crying out and not giving up, persistence, that will actually bring the answer. Now, Paul exemplified this in his life and ministry. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I'll read it from the Word of God. But just the first bit. And Paul, he's speaking before he says this. He says, I'm serving the Lord and I've been persecuted. I've been thrown into prison. I know the Spirit's taking me back to Jerusalem. Verse 23 says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. So in other words, Paul's saying, let me just get real here. Wherever I go, there's trouble. We could do with a few Christians like that, but not the wrong kind of trouble. Hello? Not trouble because you're in sin. We could do with a few Christians being so out there with the gospel and with the power of the Holy Spirit that actually we're getting persecuted for it. Trouble's happening because there's so much happening. And so Paul was saying, it doesn't matter where I go, there's going to be trouble. Because I'm not going to be bland and merging in with the world. I'm going to be a standout Christian. Hello? Everybody around me will be able to tell that I'm a believer and I have faith in God. I'm a standout believer. And he says, these things that happen to me is a kind of normal thing. And that must have been very, very painful and demanding for Paul. It's not nice to be persecuted. I don't pray for persecution. It's not a promise I'll pray for, but it is actually part of being a believer, that your friends will mock you, that people will walk away from you, that people will fight you and disagree with you because you stand out for Jesus and his word. And that should be part of your Christian walk, that we're called to suffer in that way, not with sickness, but suffer in that way for the gospel, for Jesus. It's part of your call is to suffer for Jesus. What a nice word I'm bringing this morning. I believe that you're going to be greatly encouraged. But this is the true gospel. That we're called to suffer. It's actually going to cost you something to be a Christian. Your image, your respect, you're looking cool. You're staying cool. For heaven's sake, throw off cool and put on Jesus. I mean, this is what Jesus is talking about. I want your whole life. And Paul says, I've given him my life, and there's trouble when that happens. And verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me. What words from a man who's not had, who's probably been one of the most persecuted Christians in all generations. But none of these things move me. What a wonderful thing to say. Go on, say it over your life. Just say it with faith. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. What a statement. I am not going to be moved by the trouble, by what's not happening, by discouragement. I'm not going to be moved by feeling weak. I'm not going to be moved by injustice. I'm going to be moved by God. And I'm going to go to God and believe that he will answer when I pray and don't give up. And Paul actually said, none of these things move me. And basically he was speaking about that I may finish the race and complete the task that Lord Jesus Christ has given me. In your life, you as an individual, you have a task and a race that God has given you. I have a race and a task that God has given me. And Paul says, I'm not going to be moved by what's going on around me. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to complete what God said I'm going to do. I'm not going to fall out halfway. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to finish and complete my race. And Jesus speaks about this so many times. This faith that is expressed in determination. Do you know, without determination, you can't really do very much. If you think about school or university or your work, if you're not determined, you won't be able to achieve anything. We're not to raise our kids to be sloppy and just let life happen. We need to raise up a determined generation who are going to see God work in their lives. And we need to example it as adults, what really determination means. And Paul was saying, I'm determined I'm going to finish my race. I'm determined I'm going to reach my destiny. I'm determined my family are going to be saved. Hello? I'm determined my whole family will be saved. Is anybody out there that needs to believe this word? I am determined to see my family, my destiny in God happen. I'm determined not to be a couch potato and let life happen to me. I'm determined to get up and pray and lay hold of God until I see what He has promised. I'm determined. I'm trying to put some fire in some of you this morning that will make you a little bit more than sit there. I am determined. Yes. Because without this, it won't happen. What God said will not happen without a determination. Jesus said it, not me. Take it up with Him if you're mad this morning. He's the one who gave this glorious gospel, and this is the real Christian life. The Christian life doesn't happen for people who kind of sit in a passive position and wait. Paul, you don't see Paul doing that, do you? You don't see Jesus doing that. You see him praying and then going out and taking hold of the kingdom for other people. And there was a determination in both of these, both Jesus and Paul. My mind is made up, Paul said. I'm going to finish what I got started in God. We sang, I've decided to follow Jesus. My mind's made up. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm going. And that's kind of what you need to be saying. It doesn't matter what everybody around me says. I'm determined to follow Jesus. I'm determined to stay on my course. That might be their course, but they're not taking me off course. I am determined to follow Jesus. I have set out my goal. I will never turn back. Go on, say, I'm never, never going to turn back. You see, the struggles should make us more determined and not take the heart out of us, but should make us stronger. We should see trouble differently as Christians. We should see how it can change us into something stronger. Let me just give you a living testimony. And many of you will know that Claire Berry had open heart surgery this week. And I want to tell you something, that I saw her struggle turn into an amazing determination the last few weeks before she went into the operation. This is a big operation. And she was in faith, and she was determined about seeing God's grace in everything. And I have been amazed at her living testimony of how she has lived through this. Has anybody else who's been in touch with her been amazed at what Claire's been like? She has been amazing. Now, this means what has happened to her, she has actually taken hold of this situation and is actually bringing glory to God. Sickness doesn't bring glory to God, but the way we go through things and the end result brings glory to God. And I believe that she's going to come through stronger and better, both in her faith and physically. Amen. A determination. Not a backing off and saying, oh no, what are we going to do now? The definition of determination. And unless we have determination in us, I don't believe we're going to see what God has promised. I'm determined means I'm decided. I'm settled. It's settled for me. I'm going to see what God promised. And I'm determined to. Some of you who have needed endurance and continue in faith in a process of healing in your body, you need to be determined to see the fulfillment. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? Be determined about your grandchildren and your family. Be determined about what God's promised for your finances and for the provision that He has spoken over your life. Fixed on a set purpose. Now, of course, we're speaking about God's purpose. And the only way you can fix on a set purpose in prayer is to have God's word, promise on what you're praying for. You know, I've seen so many people sell out when it comes to, and it's not relevant for a lot of people here, but maybe relevant for somebody. They've sold out by rushing ahead and getting married to the wrong person. Wow. Because they haven't bothered waiting. They got too kind of, I want now, and they came off track, ended up marrying an unbeliever, and ended up with their lives hijacked. Hello? And what's that? It's not a set purpose. I have set my purpose that this is what I'm going to do. And if you're single and you believe and you know that God wants you to marry, you need to set your purpose. I'm going to marry a believer. Hello? I'm going to marry someone who knows the Lord. Like this couple we prayed for this morning. They came together because they both know Jesus. Now, there's no condemnation if you are married now and they're not believers. God forgives and redeems all things, and I believe by your faith they'll get saved. But that's not the will of God if you're single now. Is that okay? And we're determined. We need to be set on some stuff, guys. I feel like I'm preaching to myself this morning, but we do. We need to be absolutely fixed on what we believe. If God's word says it, that's it. It's settled. And I'm fixed on that. You see, you can't move me about healing. You can't tell me it's God's will for me to be sick. There's nothing on this earth that could move me to believe that. Why? Because I am set on God's word as his purpose for humanity. You will never get me praying, if it be your will, Lord, heal them. Hello, anybody out there? I am set. I'm not set on my own agendas, on my own opinions. I'm set on the word of God. And some of us, you need to get on the word of God, the rock of your salvation. That's what sets it. I'm determined. I'm fixed on a set purpose. That God ordained marriage to be between a man and a woman. I'm set. I'm fixed. That's it. It's over. Oh, come on. I'm set. You shall not take a life. I'm in it too. The compassion that doesn't say we allow people to voluntarily commit suicide by law. The law in this nation is not the law I live by. I live by God's law. And God's law is wherever there is life, there is life, there is hope. And no, I don't really care if you don't agree, but we agree with the word. And while we have compassion, and I have seen suffering in my own family, my mother died from cancer. I watched her. I nursed her. So I am not removed from the compassion and the pain that that causes. But I have decided to take the word of God as my standard for all things in life. It is finished, is the cry of Jesus, and it must be the church's cry. And he has done everything. And you know, we need to grow in faith and healing so that some of those people, I prayed for somebody in a hospice. Just imagine if she'd been given the okay to take her life. She got healed. Jesus went around healing everyone. And we need to grow in faith. And we also need to know that I believe there is a time where there's a release, and we need release people to the Lord. I prayed for my father to be released and to go. And there is a time, and it was right. And praise God, he did. And he went to the Lord. But I am set and determined on God's will. None of these things move me. I'm set. The next thing we need is a good dose of perseverance. and persistence. Here, persistent means continuing, like the widow, remember, in a course of action, despite difficulty or opposition. Continuing in a course of action, despite difficulty or opposition. How many of you are facing difficulty or opposition? God says, continue, set on course, despite those difficulties. You set your stall out. You're going for what God has promised. And nothing will move you. I remember when I was watching a movie called Hitch. It's one of my favorite movies. It's a romantic comedy. And Hitch is this matchmaker. It's Will Smith. And I like Will Smith. And he's a kind of professional. It's his job. He's a matchmaker. And love for him is something he doesn't get involved in, but it's just his business. And then he spots Ava Mendes. And he looks at her and he likes what he sees. And he suddenly changes into someone who falls in love. When it was just his business, it becomes a thing of his own heart. And Ava Mendes in the movie is a little bit cold in response to his pursuit. And I love the way he pursues her. He comes up with the most imaginative, romantic things. And I pray that those of you who are married, you still are for your partners, for your husband and wife. How about a lot more imagination and creativity in hello. Tell you, if you've got your sitting next to your husband and wife, or if they're not here, just say, I'll remember, I'll tell them later. We need a lot more fun and creativity in our marriage. Go on, tell them. Why aren't you saying anything? Amen. Amen. Bah. Crash. That was a yeah, boom. That didn't seem to work too well, but I'm saying it anyway. I've got it on me today. I want to say it anyway. I'm going to tell you what it is. We need it. We need to see romance and fun and creativity, different ideas. You know, when I look after Pastor Andrew and David's dog for them, it's only a dog, but, you know, I've noticed he doesn't like to go around the same block every day. I mean, some marriages have been going around the same block every day. It's like, hey, there's another field over there. Let's try that one. Let's take you off the lead and put you out there. Let's see what fun we can have. That's enough. I heard the Holy Spirit say, that's enough. Persistent. And, you know, when Will Smith, when he kind of got these rebuffals, he actually said, he gave the definition of persistence to her. And he said, well, continuing in a course of action despite difficulty or opposition. So basically, lady, no matter what you do, I'm going to win you. And sometimes, you know, we got to fix our eyes on the prize of God's promise and say, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the prize. I'm going to see my family saved. I'm going to see what God's promised. I'm set on course. No matter what opposition, I'm going 100% out for God. And some things that happen to us are very sad. And tragedies do happen in life. You know, we prayed for a situation today with this plane that was shot down. There are tragedies. But, you know, we've got to get back to saying God is good. And that God's got good things in our lives. And he's promised good for us. And we believe, this is from Scripture, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Maybe that's a word for somebody today. You need to come back to the strength of faith. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm determined to see God's goodness. I may not be seeing it now, but I'm going to. persistence, set on course. There was a lady who came to Jesus. Some of you will have read the story, a Syrophoenician woman. It's in Matthew 15. She was an outsider. She wasn't part of Israel. And Jesus was doing all the miracles. There was a surplus of miracles in Israel. And God's people were kind of seeing the manifestation of healing and deliverance and the word of God coming and people coming alive to God. And Jesus goes walkabout, and he ends up in this kind of place where this woman comes to him and she starts to cry out to him, "Help, my daughter is demon possessed." And Jesus ignored her. Now, that can conflict with your theology, because we know God's good. And when you read Jesus ignored her, you kind of get this feeling that actually that's not like the Jesus we know, which is true. Because we do know God loves this woman. And she just keeps crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus, have mercy on me! Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me! Jesus, have mercy on me!" That's what she was doing. And the disciples went, "Send her away. She's making too much noise. This is embarrassing. She's an outsider. She's not part of the covenant." And Jesus says, "I wasn't sent to anyone but to Israel." In other words, the time when he was walking on the earth, the majority of his miracles were done in Israel because they were God's chosen people. But now God's chosen people are all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not outsiders, we're insiders currently in Christ. And Jesus says these words, and this woman falls on her knees and prays. She continues to pray. I wonder if I would. I wonder if you would have carried on praying. If you kind of felt it wasn't your day for a miracle from Jesus, would you have carried going, kept going? You know, there are miracles to be done today if you want them. Because Jesus is here. But I wonder if you've just come to watch or whether you've come to receive. And I wonder how much determination and persistence you'll go carry on with until you get it. Will you stop short? Will you lose heart? Will you faint, even though Jesus says don't? And this woman falls at his feet, and he says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs." I mean, it sounds like an insult to me. Call me a little dog, I'll have you. I mean, doesn't it sound like an insult? Doesn't it? I mean, this sounds like, goodness gracious me, Jesus, what just happened? Everything you're doing currently isn't making much sense to me. Why? Because he sees he doesn't just want her to pray. He doesn't just want her to cry out. He wants her to come to a place where she claims or takes from him. Because there's a difference between just praying to taking. It's good preaching today. I'm happy. There's a difference between just praying and receiving. And he says it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs. What's he saying? Well, the children have healings aplenty, deliverance aplenty in Israel. In other words, it's actually your basic in Christ to be healed. Did you hear me? It's basic. It's your bread. But then there's the meat and tatties. And then there's the pud. There's a lot more in Christ. But healing is your bread. It's yours by right. When kids go into the home or the parents are there, the bread is yours. There's a whole lot more, but it's a basic provision of Jesus. Just thank Jesus. It's a basic provision, healing for you. It's a basic. And this woman, I want to tell you how determined and persevering she was, persistent. She doesn't say, well, all right, then I'm an outsider. It doesn't. I'll have to just put up with and live with this situation forever. She kind of latches on to his word to her. He called her a little dog. And little dogs have a place. You understand? Do you get this meaning? Little dogs, you know, are around in the family. Pets. And so suddenly she says, you've reduced me, that's fine, to a little dog. But even the little dogs. She latches on to his word. I think some of us need to latch on a whole lot more. To take hold of what Jesus has said, because it's our bread, it's our inheritance. But this woman is using her persistence to the point where she says, it's okay. I'll behave like the dog if you want me to. I'll be the little pet under the table with being stroked. And occasionally, you know what you do if you love your little dog. You just one or two morsels there. And I have to confess, I do it with Reg. Forgive me, David. Oh, look, here's one. Here's a little bit for you. And, you know, the dog's always there. You noticed? You can't get rid of a little dog when you've got this food around. And you can't get rid of a little terrier dog in the spirit if Jesus is around. How many of you want to be more like a terrier to lay hold of everything that Jesus has laid hold of you for? And so, Jesus actually said, woman, great is your faith. What's he saying? You began with a have mercy, then you cried, then you fell at my feet, but then you took my word about a little crumb. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. I'll have a crumb because that'll be enough. And he said, great is your faith. Go, your daughter is healed. Now, do you not think that persistence won the day? Because she didn't give up, she kept going until she saw it. May the Lord give us all the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome whatever hasn't happened yet and to come into what God will do, our happenings in Christ, through persistence and determination. Amen. Don't let go of what God said. Don't let go of the best, the fullness of life that Jesus has promised. Don't let go of your dreams, of what God gave you when you first started out as a Christian. Don't let go of the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of healing that you will be used by Jesus to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Don't let go of raising the dead. Don't let go of what God has said. Persist until you see it. I'm going to finish with this because I believe that these things that don't happen can turn for our good in that they make us more determined to see what God has said. You know, I personally, and I need to be honest with you, I face disappointment in my own Christian walk. I'm not kind of like living in everything that I believed I would see. And I can get days where I think, where did I go wrong? Has anybody ever had those days? I can get days where I feel, maybe God, did I get it wrong? Didn't I hear you? But I can also go to the Word of God and see that actually it's the persistence that gets it. And even though there's a long delay, like Abraham, over 20 years, 25 years, he kept the faith and he kept, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no matter what happens. And he kept the faith and he kept following and he kept being strengthened in the faith, not wavering. And he got to such a strong place of faith, because you see, I believe that's what happened. He was strengthened in the faith. He kept going until, it's impossible for me, but God is able to do. And I believe I will see this happen in my life. And at that point, his persistence won the day. Don't you want persistence to win the day? That determination in God to live for Jesus, to win your friends to Christ, to be a great influence for the kingdom of heaven. Don't you want to see that? I don't want to landslide back into normality. I want supernatural. I want to see the manifestation. I'm not going into the natural. I will not. Even though I haven't yet seen, I encourage myself in the Lord. And I get myself back to the promises. And I get back to this, he who promised is faithful. And he will do it. I just set my heart to be determined and persist until I see what God has promised. I hope this is doing you good. It's doing me good. Hallelujah. In Genesis, we're going to just finish briefly with this. And Genesis chapter 32, this word's too good to stop short. So I'm not going to stop short. I'm going to persevere and keep you going. Is that all right? Are you determined to go to the end of the meeting well? To do this in faith and not sleeping, and to keep going until we receive all that God has for us today. Now this guy, Jacob, I like Jacob. There's the scripture that we're going to read in a minute. I like Jacob. Jacob was one of a twin, and when he came, there was a bit of a battle going on in Rachel's womb, and when he came out, do you know what he came out doing? Esau was born first, and Jacob was laying hold of his heel. I love that. And he came out holding on to Esau. Okay? So there is something about this guy, Jacob, that Jesus wants us to see. And something really good, like the widow and like the Syrophoenician woman. Jacob was somebody who could hold on and not let go. And so, there's many things about Jacob's character that I love. But in Genesis chapter 32, he has spent many years in a distant land, and he's coming back to the promised land. And God has said he will protect him and prosper him and be with him. And Jacob's on his way with his wives and his kids. And as he's on his way, he gets a report that Esau, his brother, who he kind of duped out of selling his birthright. So in other words, these two brothers weren't really friendly together. They had relational issues. And Esau was coming with 400 men to meet Joseph. And Jacob. And Jacob thought, my goodness me, I can't face this and win. And we're going to be wiped out. And so in fear, he's fearing an attack from this unforgiving and bitter brother. And he basically says, I know what to do. I'll be a diplomat. I'll send ahead presents. And he sent, first of all, one load of sheep and then some goats and then some materials that he'd got and some beautiful kind of silk, and he just kept sending things. And one by one, all of these gifts were coming to Esau before he met up with Jacob and his family. And Jacob says, right, I need to get my family alone and we'll just move across the stream and get into as much of a safe position as we can. And Then in verse 22 of chapter 32, that night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." I'd love to see this in your prayer life, would you? Wouldn't you like to see it in your own prayer life? I will not, getting alone with God and saying, "I will not let you go until you bless me." What a picture. And the man said, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he answered. And the man said, "Your name is no longer Jacob," because that means deceiver, "but Israel," which means contender with God, "because you have struggled with God and man and have overcome." And at that moment, he received in prayer, through holding on, what he needed. And Esau, a few miles down the road, was asleep in his tent, thinking and planning on vengeance, or how he was going to kill his brother. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came on Jacob as he's fallen asleep, and he starts to get all these warm feelings about his brother. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can change anyone if you can contend with God for it? And he starts to think, "Oh, I've missed my brother. I can't wait to see him." And so completely turns around from someone who wanted to destroy his brother to someone who wanted to bless him. And ran to him when they met and kissed and said, "Oh, I've missed you." Now that is a miracle of all miracles. God changed Esau because Jacob contended with God. I'm going to finish with a testimony. Pastor Colin Urquhart, his wife wasn't a believer when they were first married. And I think it was before Word of Faith Day. So I don't think he was living with the same conviction as he knows and understands today. But Caroline wasn't a believer. And one day he decided he'd had enough of her not being saved. Sometimes you just got to make a decision you've had enough. And he locked himself in his office. And he said, "I'm actually going to contend with God for the salvation of my wife." And within, I think, days, Caroline went to a meeting. She always went to all the church meetings. She just wasn't a believer. She wasn't born again. Within days, she got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But he knows it happened when he got alone with God and said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Some of you have been waiting for God to do something that God is waiting for you to lay hold of and to contend for the things that God has promised. To not give up, to faint or lose heart, but to be strengthened, encouraged, and to keep going until you see what God has promised. That's the word of the Lord. And I believe that was confirmed. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaith.com. kingdomfaithsouthwest.sw.com.